And ladies and gentlemen, welcome to our very first Food Time program of the new year. Food Time is the award-winning All Things Edible program heard every Sunday at this time. And we're happy to welcome back one of our original Food Time guests to the program today. We started our Food Time show back in 1873. Remember, we were doing the show Horse and Buggy back in those days. Now, when I first came to WGN and we started doing our Food Time show, it would have been 1994, I believe. One of our very first guests was a guy that I had seen writing cookbooks and a column called Lean and Lovin' It, where he took traditional recipes, sometimes not so healthy recipes, and convert them into things that are much healthier. But the thing that always impressed me about Don Maurer's recipes and his whole approach to things is that he always remembered that they have to be delicious. And that's what set him apart. My old friend Don Maurer rejoins us here on the Food Time Show. Hello there, my friend.
Hello, my friend. Happy New Year.
Happy New to you. How long, Don, have you been writing your Lean and Lovin' It column for that's seen here in Chicago in the Daily Herald, seen all over the country.
That is correct.
But here in Chicago in the Daily Herald.
Yeah, it is amazing to me to say that this coming October, I will have been writing that column for 25 years.
How about that? Look at you. Look at you.
Which may be some sort of a record, I think. I don't know.
It's got to be, I would think, with regularly running column period, much less food column, because, you know, those things kind of come and go pretty quickly. But I think it's because of your content, because the content is so solid. And so helpful, and based on your own personal experience. For those that don't remember, explain how you got into this whole thing in the first place.
Well, almost 25 years ago, well, it would be about 27 years ago, because in 1990, I lost more than 100 pounds, and I kept it off for more than 2 years. Creating taking my own recipes and cutting the fat and cutting the calories and kept that weight off. And a newspaper in Chicago discovered me from a letter that a friend of mine had written, unbeknownst to me. And I was on the entire front page of that food section in 1992, where they told everybody in Chicago that I created great food, which is, they set that bar pretty high.
Which was true. Which newspaper was this to give them?
That was the Chicago Sun-Times.
Okay. All right.
You know, it's funny, too, because at the time they said, well, we're going to take your recipes into our test kitchen and test them. Is that okay with you? And I said, fine. And later on, when I got to know the writer that was writing the story, she said, you know, I said, I want to come down to Chicago Sun-Times and see your test kitchen and see how you guys do this.
Right.
And she went, well, that's a euphemism for my home kitchen.
Oh, really? Really?
Yeah. So there was no test kitchen there at the Chicago Sun-Times. They would take it home and do that there. I know. The newspaper world has changed.
Dirty secrets of the Sun-Times.
Yeah, really.
Because here at the Tribune,
some dirt.
Here at the Tribune, they had a very nice, beautiful test kitchen upstairs. We're no longer owned by the same company anymore. But back in the day when WGN, world's greatest newspaper, was owned by Chicago Tribune, we did a lot of things together. And we would often do things up in the gorgeous test kitchen that they have, I assume that they still have up there. And the L.A. Times, which was also part of our company then, when I used to broadcast my show from the L.A. Times building when I was out there, it was right next door to their amazing test kitchen. So, not all of newspaper test kitchens are euphemisms for somebody's house. But it is pretty cool how they, dissect those things, though, and go through the recipes. They want to make sure what you're saying is true.
Yep. No, they want to make sure that their readers can make those recipes and that their end results are exactly what they should be. And one of the things that's changed over the years is that today, when you see my column, you not only read the column, but you get the recipe and it's got the complete nutritional analysis. But in addition to that, there's a picture. And that picture, I take that picture of every single recipe. So I test it. I make sure it's exactly the way I want to see it. And then I take a picture of it, and that appears on the website so that you can actually see that recipe. And some of the recipes I sent you today, the pictures are right there with the recipe.
Yeah, we're going to talk about those. We'll talk about those in a minute.
Sure.
At first, I just want to, this time of year, Who hasn't said since, you know, the holidays are over, well, now I'm really going to buckle down. I'm really going to watch my food. You know, I'm going to lose some weight for the new year. That's my resolution. And there are some, I was really surprised at this list that you sent me of common myths, common perceptions that people have about healthy eating that turns out are myths. What are some of the biggest ones you think?
Well, one of the things, and it's the reason I led the list with exercise, is that if you exercise, you lose weight. Because everybody's, I mean, aren't we all racing over to the fitness center this month to work out and work off the weight that we gained over the holidays?
Right.
And
of course I am.
Of course you are.
Of course I am.
Yeah, I'm surprised you're there in the studio today.
I just took a few minutes off from working out to come and do the show here today. Yes.
And in fact, that is a myth. And this and when I talk about the truth here in these ideas, this is based on my experience. And one of the things I did when I'd gained back a lot of the weight that I lost in 1990. And when I went to Weight Watchers and I lost 150 pounds, I went out and got myself a trainer. And one of the first things my trainer said to me is, as we work out, he said, there's a possibility that you will be gaining weight instead of losing weight.
You're going to be developing muscle
right.
to replace the fat, which actually weighs more than the fat does.
That's exactly right. And I went, wait a second, what the heck am I doing here working out if I'm not going to lose weight?
Right, right.
And but what I found out, because he took measurements on my whole body, you know, calves and waist and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's not too humiliating when they do that in the gym in front of everybody either, is it?
Oh, yeah. It's fabulous. Yes. I love it. Well, by the way, this is Lean and Loving It columnist, this guy that waddled in here.
Right, especially when you're a high-profile guy, right?
Oh, God, yes. So, but at the end of 8 weeks, I hadn't really lost much weight. I did lose a little bit of weight over those 8 weeks, but what I had lost was literally inches. And so what I'm suggesting here to everybody who's going to work out, instead of looking down at the floor at your scale, look up at the mirror, because you're going to see some physical change. If you're working out, you're going to see some physical changes that your body's going to change, but it may not appear on your scale. So don't feel bad about it and go, wait a second, I was supposed to be losing weight here. Take a look in the mirror and see how you look. I'll bet you're going to see some serious changes there.
Yeah, and Don is not saying don't exercise. He's just saying that there is a misperception about what it actually does for you and that you need to understand that.
Right. If you understand that, then at the end of that, whatever, 6 or 8 weeks that you've been working out, you're going to see some serious changes going on here that you're going to keep you moving forward. And that's what kept me moving forward, because those measurements he took after 8 weeks, I'd lost serious inches in lots of places. And I went, oh, my gosh, this is unbelievable. So hang in there.
So
keep working out.
Yeah. So you said in your list of myths, which we're going to post all this up on the web. You said that all calories are the same. A calorie is a calorie. You say that is not true.
It's not true. It's really from where those calories are coming. A fat calorie is different, not only just in the amount of calories per gram, but what your body does with it. And so that's really what's important here, is that meals are not just about calorie counting. For years, I believe that, you know, calories in, calories out. I used to keep a journal marking down everything that I ate so I could keep track of everything. And in the end, it's how my body processes those calories that is actually more important. And we've learned this today from studies, is more important than the actual calorie that you're taking. From where they're coming is what's important.
So which
a sugar calorie is different from a fat calorie?
That's what I was going to ask you. Okay, so we should be eliminating sugar as much as we can?
Well, I try to steer clear of it as much as possible, but, you know, I'm just like everybody else here. You know, you take a piece of chocolate cake by me, and I start to salivate, you know. Right. I go hunting for the fork so that I can have me.
Right. And a gallon of milk.
With my bare hands.
And a gallon of milk to go with it, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, no. We're the same era, you know. If you're talking about Oreo cookies, you're talking about milk.
Oof.
Right?
That's some good dunking right there, my friend.
You betcha, you know. And so it's more important, I think, to pay attention to where those calories come, and that, you know, what we're finding out is that sugar calories are not so good for you, and that fat and protein calories are better. But especially in terms of carbohydrates, I think people misinterpret this concept. And that is, we're talking about unrefined carbohydrates are really good for you. And so some of the things that I have for lunch on the weekends, for example, I'll oven roast broccoli and cauliflower and those kinds of things so that they're really, they come out of the oven this gorgeous brown. I season them a little bit with a little bit of olive oil and stuff, and they taste wonderful. And those are complex carbohydrates, and my body loves those. And I try and steer clear of the refined carbohydrates like breads and sugars
a
and
donut
corn syrup
or,
and that kind of stuff.
Right, something like
hey,
that.
Stop it.
Those, well,
donuts.
I mean, yeah, no, I'm just I'm saying that those are the differences between them. Both are carbs.
Yeah.
Broccoli is a carb.
Yep.
Vegetables are carbs for the most part, and
yep.
so is
yes.
cake and donuts. But
yep.
some are complex that
exactly.
Your body takes longer to metabolize, and some are instantly metabolized and, in fact,
yeah.
turn to sugar and raise your risk for diabetes and you know all kinds of problems with some of the unrefined ones. You also said in your list of myths that that breakfast is the most important meal. Everybody thinks that. You say that's not
yep.
true.
Well, first of all, let's start with this. You know who did the studies on that?
Egg company?
Kellogg's.
Kellogg's. What do you know?
yeah.
What
they
a coincidence
some of those studies.
That a breakfast
yeah.
food company would fund a study that would come up with that conclusion. Hmm.
I know you're shocked, aren't you? I should have told you to sit down.
I'm not only shocked, I'm guffawed.
Well, me too. All meals are important. It doesn't matter whether it's breakfast, lunch, or dinner. You know, and it's the content of those meals that are important, more important than when you're eating them necessarily. Breakfast is an important meal, but it's what's contained within that breakfast that's important. You know, if you're having a bagel with cream cheese all over it and those kinds of things, not so good. You know, having some eggs, believe it or not, eggs are now health food.
Right. Yeah.
Remember when they weren't?
The tide has turned on the whole cholesterol issue with eggs. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, for example, I'll have, which is what I had this morning. I had some scrambled eggs this morning for my breakfast and started me off with a high protein breakfast rather than a high refined carbohydrate breakfast like pancakes or donuts. As long as we were talking about donuts.
Donuts.
You got me thinking about them.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, donuts. Yeah.
Right.
Got to make the donuts.
Homer Simpson-like. Peanut butter, yes or no? Let me throw in
yes.
also peanut butter, avocado, that are super healthy, and doctors will tell you, you know, to use them in your diet, except they are super high in fat also.
Yeah. And again, it has more to do with content than calories. An avocado has got, lots of fat. Absolutely. But the fats in an avocado are monounsaturated, which right now we believe are really good and healthy for you. And so that avocado, which people used to say, hey, don't eat an avocado, man. You know how much fat's in an avocado? Actually, that fat has turned out to be very healthy for us, and avocados are now considered to be health food.
And outside of guacamole, delicious, like on a piece of multigrain bread
yep.
For a meal. So delicious. Same with
they
peanut
are.
Butter, a little multigrain bread and a nice quality peanut butter on there. It's that's super, super healthy. Let me take
it
a quick
super healthy.
Quick break. We're coming right back with Don Maurer. You can read him in the Daily Herald. He's got four. What's your latest cookbook? Four cookbooks. What's your latest?
Well, the latest one was The Complete Idiot's Guide to Grilling, which...
Perfect.
I said they found the right complete idiot to write that book.
We'll talk about some of his recipe suggestions, taking some of these foods that might not be so healthy for you and converting them lean and loving it style after we come back on WGN. 12:52 with Dean Richards, our Food Time program on the air with our pal Don Maurer, lean and loving columnist of the Daily Herald, author of four cookbooks. And Don, you've taken some recipes. I mean, you've got many, many, many recipes of favorites. I still use, by the way, your pulled chicken recipe that I serve as pulled pork, and I don't tell people that it's pulled chicken, and they think it's pulled
yeah.
pork. It's still a
it's
favorite
terrible.
After still favorite after all these years.
Thank you for saying that.
Yeah, one of Don's recipes. You sent us a couple of recipes here that we're going to post. We're going to post all this on WGNradio.com, some recipes and also his list of food myths. But you have a recipe that is a chicken chicken similar to the Colonel's chicken, let's say?
No, yeah, it's called not the KFC chicken thighs, and it's based on there was an article done a couple of years ago, or not a couple of months ago. I'm sorry, not years, but a couple of months ago, where they seem to have found the Kentucky Fried Chicken recipe for chicken.
Oh, right, the 11 secret ingredients.
Yeah, and so the 11 herbs and spices, and so I took that article and I made that mixture, and then I used it to make dust chicken thighs and roast them in the oven so that they weren't fried. And they sort of taste like it. I'm not sure that recipe was actually the accurate recipe, but it's a great flavor, and it's a really easy thing to do and fun, and it makes chicken taste really, really good. And so that's the idea, and I love boneless, skinless chicken thighs. They're
sure. So you can take a look at the recipe for the specific ingredients, but what is it? What is it that you're doing to it that makes it seem as though it's fried, even though it's baked?
Well, the nice thing about chicken thighs is that there's some fat in them versus like chicken breast. White meat chicken is so lean that it's really hard to roast it and even make believe that it's fried. And with this, what I've been doing was I leave the skin on. And so that essentially bastes the chicken.
Right.
And then the seasoning I'm putting on the other side, which is the skinless side of a chicken thigh. And it works beautifully because that skin has got some fat in it, and it really bastes that chicken thigh as you're oven roasting it.
Comes out nice and moist. And, so you're not putting breadcrumbs, anything like that
for
the crunch?
It doesn't have quite the crunch that fried does, you know, but that's pretty hard to duplicate without using fat to create that crunch, because that crunch is created by frying. Because what frying does basically is it removes the moisture in food. And so those breadcrumbs that you put on there and put it in a deep fat fryer is pulling the moisture out, and then you get a big crunch at the end, which is really a wonderful textural thing. But it's also carrying a heck of a lot of fat with it.
Yeah, a lot of fat, and those are those carbs that we were talking about before also. These oven-roasted vegetables that you talked about, the reason for doing this as opposed to steaming or sautéing or something, I suppose, is to bring out the natural flavors and to caramelize a little bit?
Yep, exactly right. You cook, don't you?
I do.
Yeah. And you hit it right on the nail there, because that is what is so fabulous about this. And it's something I started playing with a couple of years ago, was oven roasting vegetables. Because I think when you boil vegetables and even steam them, that water seems to dilute the flavor. And when you oven roast them, it pulls some of the moisture out of there, which intensifies the flavor. Right. And you're caramelizing the outside of those vegetables, which bumps up the flavor notes and the flavor profile. So you really, it's a double winner there.
Yeah, it's super flavorful when you do that. And Don's got a recipe for that, for the chicken thighs. He's got a recipe for zero added fat, half the sugar brownies, which I'm sure are delicious.
They're incredible.
We're going to post all that up at WGNradio.com. People want to take a look at your stuff, Don. What's the best way to do that?
Well, of course, pick up the Daily Herald every other Wednesday, and you can see the column there. Or you can go online at thedailyherald.com and search on either Don Maurer or Lean and Lovin' It, and the current column should pop up there, and you get to see a picture, read the column, and you'll get a copy of the recipe, too, which is very cool.
Sounds great. Don, I hope we can talk again soon. Our pal Don Maurer, Lean and Lovin' columnist for the Daily Herald, author of 4 cookbooks. Happy New Year, Don. Thank you.
Thank you. Happy New Year.